Broadcasting live to New York, Bloomberg 1130. To Washington, D.C., Bloomberg 991. To Boston, Bloomberg 1200. To San Francisco, Bloomberg 960. To the country, Sirius XM Channel 119. And around the globe, the Bloomberg Radio Plus app and Bloomberg.com. This is Taking Stock.
I'm Kathleen Hazelong, Pim Plox. We're broadcasting live from the Bloomberg Markets Most Influential Summit at our Bloomberg World Headquarters. Globalization, where is it heading? Have we reached the end of globalization? This is one of the topics here at Bloomberg Markets Most Influential, Pim. And we're going to be speaking to a panelist shortly to talk about, you know, maybe Donald Trump shouldn't be so worried. Trade is actually shrinking in the global economy.
Yes, our guest will be Alan Krueger, a Princeton University professor of economics and public affairs, former head of the Council of Economic Advisors in the Obama administration. Right now, though, let's go to Charlie Pellett in the Bloomberg Newsroom for a Bloomberg Business Flash.
And I thank you very much, Pim Fox. Thank you, Kathleen Hayes. Speaking of influence, got to begin with crude oil today, surging 4.4%, helping lift equities, the Dow, the S&P, NASDAQ, all advancing. West Texas Intermediate crude now at $46.63 for a barrel. OPEC agreeing to cut production for the first time in 8 years. And this update brought to you by Instinct Options from Bank of America Merrill Lynch. Capture liquidity in U.S. equity and index options by trading, by unleashing the in-depth market insights and adaptive algo strategies of Instinct Options. That's the power of global connections. OPEC cutting production for the first time in 8 years, according to a delegate briefed on the matter, sending oil prices up as Saudi Arabia and Iran, wrong-footed traders who expected a continuation of the pump-at-will policy the group adopted in 2014. Crude oil up now by 4.4%, rallying $2 the barrel to $46.63. California, the nation's largest issuer of municipal bonds, is barring Wells Fargo from underwriting state debt and handling its banking transactions after the company admitted to opening potentially millions of bogus customer accounts. Wells Fargo shares up 0.1%. Gold down 660, the ounce down 0.5%. The 10-year down 2/32, the yield 1.57%. S&P 500 index up 6, a gain there of 0.3%. And right now, 3:32 on Wall Street. Let's take a look at some of the other stories making news.
Thank you, Charlie. From the Bloomberg Newsroom, I'm Jill Schneider. This news update is brought to you by the Jeep Grand Cherokee, the most awarded SUV ever. The Grand Cherokee continues to raise the bar with its luxurious interior and legendary 4x4 capability. Drive one at your local Jeep dealer today. For the first time in his presidency, Congress has voted to override a President Obama veto. The House overwhelmingly voted 348-77 to override a bill that will allow Saudi Arabia to be sued for involvement in the 9/11 attacks. Earlier, the Senate voted 97-1, with the single no vote coming from Minority Leader Harry Reid. First Lady Michelle Obama is out campaigning for Hillary Clinton today. Mrs. Obama addressed a crowd at Philadelphia's LaSalle University.
Remember, it's not about voting for the perfect candidate. There is no such person. In this election, it's about making a choice between two very different candidates with very different visions for our nation.
Mrs. Obama also said the country needs, quote, an adult in the White House. Israel is mourning the death of former President and Prime Minister Shimon Peres. Former President Bill Clinton will be among those attending his funeral Friday.
I'm very grateful to him for a lifetime of thinking big thoughts and dreaming big dreams and figuring out practical ways to achieve them.
Penn Station, the nation's busiest transit hub, could finally be getting a makeover. Governor Andrew Cuomo has unveiled a $1.6 billion plan that would create a retail space at the James A. Farley Building across the avenue and a waiting hall for Amtrak and Long Island Railroad passengers. Global news 24 hours a day, powered by more than 2,600 journalists and analysts in more than 120 countries. I'm Jill Schneider. This is Bloomberg. Charlie?
And we thank you. And again, keeping an eye on crude oil, West Texas Intermediate up now by 4.4%, a barrel of WTI 46.63, equities higher, S&P up 6, a gain of 0.3%. I'm Charlie Pellett. That's a Bloomberg Business Flash.
You're listening to Taking Stock with Kathleen Hayes and Pim Fox on Bloomberg Radio.
Broadcasting live today for the Bloomberg Markets Most Influential Summit at our world headquarters here in New York. I want to take a look at globalization and where the world is heading now, particularly in this election year when there are so many debates around trade, trade deals, and more. Joining us now is Alan Krueger, who's former head of the Council of Economic Advisors, professor at Princeton University. He's going to talk about his panel today, whether the sun is setting on globalization. So, Alan, is it twilight for globalization, or is it just some dark clouds obscuring the sun so it feels like the sun is setting?
The word I used was moderation. I think we're seeing a moderation in globalization when it comes to trade as well as when it comes to immigration.
Is this a bad thing or a good thing?
I think it was a somewhat inevitable thing in that there was an enormous rush of globalization when the Soviet Union collapsed and Eastern Europe joined the modern world, the capitalist system. And then when China joined the world trading system, and I think that that led to a long period of expanding trade, and now we're reaching more of an equilibrium point where wages have been driven up in China, the infrastructure has been driven down to the point that they are really quite stretched in terms of their infrastructure. We're seeing companies bring more work back to the U.S., in fact. We're seeing companies reshoring some work in the U.S., and I think that trend will probably continue. And the same thing with immigration. I think we saw very rapid immigration to the U.S., particularly from Mexico, when we had our housing bubble. And since then, we've actually had net out-migration to Mexico.
Professor Krueger, there's so much I want to ask you, so I just want to throw out some topics and maybe get your maybe you can connect them for us. One of your earliest pieces of research has to do with the restaurant industry and minimum wage. You've written books about wage inequality. You've also written a book about terrorism. I'm wondering if there's a way to connect all those things in the context of trade agreements and what they will ultimately do in a variety of ways, because trade is not just about stuff, it's about people. And supposedly, if you actually know somebody, chances are you're going to feel less aggressive towards them because you're going to know something rather than just hear it or think it or get that information that might not be true.
Well, there are a lot of cross currents
So
I'll do my best. The point, I think, which is underappreciated about trade agreements is they are as much international relations policy as they are economic policy. And if you look at NAFTA, for example, in our $18 trillion economy in the U.S., NAFTA had very little effect one way or the other in terms of our economic growth or wages. I think it was positive on that. I think that's why the economy did so well in the 1990s after NAFTA. But I would have to acknowledge that it was pretty small. But it did help our relationship with Mexico and Canada. And now when we're turning to the other parts of the world, do we want to have better relations with the rest of the world or worse relations? I think when it comes to our national security, it's better to have better relations. So I think one aspect of trade agreements is that it helps to further our national security interests. And if you have a candidate who says, I'm going to tear up agreements that we have, I think that works in reverse. And I think it makes it very difficult to negotiate agreements that are in the interest of the U.S., both economically and in our international security interests, if we have bluster coming from politicians about withdrawing from agreements which we had previously negotiated in good faith.
As we make future trade agreements, assuming that that happens, is it important, though, to see that our experience with China was not altogether good? Our relationship with China, our trade relations, and the fact that they pegged their currency for so long helped hollow out manufacturing in this country. I think it's hard to dispute that. Also, they've blocked intellectual property. They've stolen intellectual property. Is there some way in future trade agreements that will make sure that free trade is fair trade?
I think you raise very important points. And also recognize it was not trade agreement that led to China's expansion in the U.S. We don't have a trade agreement with China. And one of the arguments that President Obama has made, which I think is exactly right, is TPP would prevent China from writing the rules of the road when it comes to the economic relations in Asia. It will be U.S. standards that would protect intellectual property, for example.
We sold them a lot of treasuries. That was something that we did that they bought from us.
Well, I think they bought treasuries from us because they recognize that we are the strongest, most responsible country in the world. and a good place to invest. And I think we are now at a point where China's currency is roughly valued appropriately. I think for a long time it did weaken its currency. But I think now, given how poorly China has fared over the last few years and how much better the U.S. has grown, you would see a reversal. So I think it's very hard to say that the currency manipulation is causing a lot of damage to the U.S. economy today. Now, I think that's something we need to monitor very closely going forward.
I want to thank you very much for coming in and spending time with us. Alan Krueger, he is the former head of the Council of Economic Advisors, currently a professor at Princeton University, and the author of many books, one on equality, education, and terrorism. You're listening to Taking Stock. I'm Pim Fox, my co-host Kathleen Hayes. This is Bloomberg.
Bloomberg Taking Stock is brought to you by Cohn Resnick. Look ahead, gain insight, imagine more. Get forward-thinking advice that can help turn business possibilities into business opportunities. Find out more at CohnResnick.com.